This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I think a bit of a storm in the teacup, I think, makes a good story.
The grass is extra brown this week.
Oh, I can feel this is going to end in tears with something stuck up. No, I'm the green agent.
This is Primetime on British Open Week.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th. 100% of ticket sales go to local charities. Order now at WincoFoodsPortlandOpen.com.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back, bros. Thursday. If you're just tuning in, you already missed Jake Breland and Jake Hansen of the Ducks. They were in studio for two segments earlier. Good dudes. Hair was on point on both of them.
Yeah, the long and the long flow and the high and tight.
Highlights, I would say, I thought at the end when Breland said, there are times when Justin Herbert gets down. Mm-hmm. And when he gets down, the whole team gets down. Yeah. And he has addressed that and he feels better about his leadership, Herbert's leadership abilities this year, and making sure that he's aware when he's doing that and not do that because everybody's kind of following his lead. I thought that was interesting. Little look into, you know, little things that can mean a lot.
Well, I think it's a big year for, obviously for Oregon, but I think it's a huge year for Justin Herbert, who, like, I think it's like for some people it's sacrilegious to say, but I think he's got a lot to prove. I mean, he looks the part and he's shown you flashes of it. But I do not think that over his career that he has consistently played like the best quarterback in the country. I just don't. If you're going to be the number one draft pick, I think you have to be more consistent. Not only do I think that you have to be more consistent, I think there has to be games when you lift up your team, when you take your team and you elevate it and say, we're not going to lose this. And I don't think he's done it. And so I think coming back, look, I think it was a bold step when you were going to be one of the top picks, but I think it was a needed step for his growth and his maturation, and I think there's more to his game that needs to come out, and I think this is the year as a senior now and obviously a starter since you were a true freshman. I think some of that stuff has to improve from the leadership to kind of poise and, again, the consistency and pressure in the big games. I mean, you can make the argument that their biggest win last year, Washington, he made some nice throws in that, but to me, that was largely based on the run game and Washington not being able to kick a field goal. So I expect a big breakout year from Justin Herbert. If you're going to be the number one player in the country, the number one player in the draft, I think it's time to start playing like it.
So if you want to listen to the two Jakes on our show earlier, you can download the podcasts, Hour 1 and Hour 2, all of our hours at 1080thefan.com. Our podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tires. Now we're going to get back to the Open. We've already spent, I mean, we had to spend two segments just talking about the bad things that happened out there.
Yeah.
Rory and Tiger and David Duval.
The non-opal.
Non-opal. Unbelievable. That was in our first hour, but we'll get back to what's going on at the top of the leaderboard here in a couple minutes. I also have a story, hopefully we can get to it this hour, the most unlikely home run in Major League Baseball history for you.
Tickle me intrigued.
In the club tonight, well, I've already determined that I owe you an apology.
Yeah.
For something.
Ooh. That doesn't happen very often.
No.
No.
But I was wrong and you were right.
Mm. Speaking of something that doesn't happen very often, well, there you go.
No, you're right about that. Oh, wait. You're wrong. Wait.
What's happening?
Who's so winning?
Do you even know what's happening, Souk?
No. Like,
do you know what he's apologizing for?
No, I do not know
what
he's
apologizing
for.
No, it's something from earlier in today's show, and I did try hard to prove you wrong, and I cannot.
Okay.
So I will present my apology formally to you.
All right.
In the club hour.
I'm intrigued.
I also have a Business Insider story where we will analyze the goals of youth in China versus the United States. Mm. We'll find out how different those are. Now, we have not gotten to meth gators or cocaine wigs, and we must do that today.
And there's another serial pooper on the loose.
No way.
Have you seen
Here?
This? No, but he's shutting down a public pool. Or should I say, they are shutting down a public pool. He has single-handedly brought a municipal pool to its knees.
Oh, my God. Well, the club hour is from 6 to 7. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Come on, Rob!
So I have to be prepared for his big giant loads.
Yeah!
Number five.
That one needs to be deleted. I'm just going to say it right now.
It's
live on the air.
It's really inappropriate.
That needs to be deleted. I don't know why we keep that. Wait, no, I do. Day baseball. There's not much going on today.
No.
But we did have some day games where, do you want to know how the Royals did against the White Sox?
Yes, please. Please tell me.
Well, the Yankees won. They beat the Rays 6-2. They're playing a doubleheader in New York. Red Sox won again. Red Sox are playing pretty well. Sneaking up. They shut out the Blue Jays 5-0. The Phillies beat the Dodgers 7-6. Now, the closer of the Phillies had words with the Dodgers dugout, Hector Neris, after that game.
What was he all pissy about?
I don't know, but someone will get dotted. What else do we have?
He's the guy who hit David Freese almost in the head the other day.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Dodgers were probably barking at him.
To your point, by the way, the Red Sox now only 2.5 back in the wild card.
Yeah, but they're still way back in the division.
Yeah, they're
right?
Not going to win the division. I mean, it's wild card a bust, but it's a good wild card race because you got Cleveland, Oakland, and the Rays, and our Rays, all right now tied, and then Boston sitting there 2.5 back.
The Marlins beat the Padres 4-3. Royals over the White Sox 6-5. The Reds already a 3-0 lead on the Cards. Tigers lead the Indians 3-2. Okay, just because Jim Harbaugh, I'm putting this in here because it's not really news, but it is a headline today, and it's college football. And Jim Harbaugh of Michigan isn't pulling any punches when it comes to Urban Meyer at Ohio State.
Has he ever?
Excuse me. No, he really hasn't. Now, Harbaugh was at Big Ten Media Day. And he has yet to beat Ohio State. You know that, right?
Yes.
Like, he's never beat, or he, as the head coach at Michigan, since he's been there, he's not beaten them. And, of course, Urban Meyer has moved on. He's going to be an analyst this year. And Ryan Day takes over Ohio State. And this is what Harbaugh said. Quote, "You welcome the accountability." He's talking about not beating Ohio State.
Yeah.
"You welcome the accountability. All you can be judged on is your record. What your record is overall, what your record is in your conference, and what your record is head-to-head matchups with other teams that you play. I think you'll find that right now Ohio State is the only team that has a better record than us, blah, blah, blah." I thought that was the Urban Meyer quote. Hold on.
No, he said the Urban Meyer quote was, "Urban Meyer has a winning record, really phenomenal record everywhere he's been, but also controversy follows him wherever he's been."
Yeah, he said that before.
Yeah.
And they say, "Hey, wait a minute, you haven't beaten him." He's like, "Well, we beat everybody else."
Well, and to be fair, I mean, he is
right.
They
haven't.
Yeah.
Oh, he's right about Urban Meyer, but they also haven't beaten Ohio State.
No.
So what does this mean? Absolutely nothing. However, Harbaugh taking shots. I don't know. He's right about Urban Meyer's controversy following him. At the same time, shut up until you beat Ohio State, okay?
Then throw shade at Urban Meyer?
Yeah, then whip it out and pee all over him.
Well, even then, you still wouldn't have beaten Urban Meyer.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah. I mean,
Urban Meyer scoreboards it.
Right. To the NBA, free agent J.R. Smith is meeting with the Milwaukee Bucks about a job playing basketball.
Yes, not in the front office.
Condition of Hall of Fame NBA coach Jerry Sloan is deteriorating, this due to dementia and Parkinson's.
Yeah, one of his friends just came out today and said that his exact words, he's dying.
Yeah, which I think that's kind of, I don't know.
It was a weird
way. Why would you say that?
It was a weird way to put it.
Yeah.
You know, but...
But he has dementia, Parkinson's. He's 77 on home health care right now. Blazers still expected to sign a backup center before camp. ESPN College Game Day will be on site in Dallas for the Ducks opener against Auburn. It was announced today. That game, of course, is Saturday, August 31st, 4:30 Pacific kick. Likely a top 15 matchup, but we don't know yet. The Ducks announced they will open camp August 2nd. Oregon-Auburn was chosen over Boise State, Florida State, and Duke, Alabama. So really a no-brainer there.
Yeah. Although the Boise State-Florida State game could be interesting.
Real interesting.
Well, I hope Boise State, and I'm assuming it's down in Florida. Or is it a neutral
spot? I think it's in Florida, yeah. I don't think Florida State's traveling to play Boise State.
No. Well, I just didn't know if it was in Tallahassee or if it was at a neutral site. Either way, I want nothing more than Boise State to go down there and whoop Willie Taggart, Florida State's ass. I think that'd be fantastic.
You know, that game might actually be in Orlando. Let me...
Because most of these games now are not home or aways. They're played at neutral fields, even though
it's Boise State.
Yeah, Boise State going to Orlando isn't necessarily neutral, but still.
Right. Yeah, I got to look it up. And number one, the only time the British Open has been played outside of England or Scotland was 1951 at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. Well, the Open is back there this week. The course looks great if you watched any of it today. Rory McIlroy, who grew up playing the course, he shot 79.
He's got the course record.
Yeah, at the age of like 16 or something.
Yeah, but he quadruple bogeyed hole number one, and then he triple bogeyed 18, so not the bookends you were hoping for.
Yeah, that Florida State-Boise State game is in Jacksonville,
okay, so
where
again,
they're playing that game.
Truly a neutral field.
Yeah, so Rory shot 79. Tiger Woods, not much better. He shot 78. He looked hobbled and tired. And said as much after the round. Phil Mickelson lost a bunch of weight to shoot 76. Here is your leaderboard. J.B. Holmes, the American who played on his high school golf team at the age of 8.
Well, Phil lost all that weight and was terrible. J.B. was all fat and sassy out there, and he was fantastic.
He shot 66, 5 under. Shane Lowry is an Irishman. He is second with a 4 under 67. There is a slew of bros at 3 under, including Sergio Garcia, a ho-hum 68 from Brooks Koepka. Also, a guy you may be rooting for, old-ass Lee Westwood is out there at 3-under. And many people think that he's like one of the better players to have never won a major. And a lot of people also think that maybe that moment has passed him by. But here he is just 2 shots off the lead. And then a few guys at 2-under, and that group includes Justin Rose. The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light. Please drink responsibly. We'll talk a little Open, and then the most improbable home run in Major League Baseball history, all coming up on The Fan.
This is a British Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
Hey, coming up next week on a Wednesday, our show will be down in LA for the Pac-12 Media Day. You'll hear from Jonathan Smith, Mario Cristobal, David Shaw, Chris Peterson, Mike Leach, all the big names in the Pac-12. Make sure you tune in. Put it in your iPhone. Set it as an event.
The iCal, if you will.
Your iCal. Put an alert on there. And we'll be down there from 3 to 7 Wednesday of next week for some hot college football. Now, at the Open, formerly known as the British Open of golf, we talked in hour one about David Duval. He shot 91, if you didn't know.
Yeah. 9 over. He shot a 14. I think it was hole number 7. And apparently when you get 9 over on a hole, it's called a non-upple, which I didn't know was a thing, but apparently it's a thing.
20 over, and he started birdie-birdie,
yeah,
which is just unreal. But he played the wrong ball, and he lost 2 other balls, and he had a million penalty shots. It's just a mess. And Rory McIlroy was awful, which I actually do kind of feel bad for him. Home course. He hit it out of bounds on his first shot.
He tried to play it off afterwards and say that the pressure didn't get to him, and he wasn't even thinking about it, which is ridiculous. I mean, we've seen him melt down before, but that's...
He shot 79. He's out of the tournament. He's been playing great this year. He's out of the tournament after, I mean, basically one hole. He quadruple. You don't win... These guys don't win these majors with a quadruple bogey on their card at any point in a round.
Or a triple bogey on 18.
Right, tripled 18.
It's a nice bookend there.
Unbelievable. And then Tiger was just awful. He's just hobbled. But back up at the top of the leaderboard, J.B. Holmes, I told the story earlier, he's always been a golf prodigy. And he was 8 years old. He was in third grade when his dad went to the high school golf coach at the small town that they lived in Kentucky and said, hey, what do you got to do to make the high school team? And he said, break 50 for 9 holes. You'll probably make it.
You got an 8-year-old that can do it.
So he sent little John Holmes out there and he did it.
Do you think that's healthy for a 8-year-old to be playing on your high school golf team?
Well, here, okay. You, I'll tell you the rest of the story, and you tell me if it's healthy. So Holmes was just awesome at golf from a very young age, and he made the high school golf team. He was in third grade, 8 years old, and he was on the high school team. He said that he got constantly made fun of by the opposing, you know, the guys on the opposing teams that he was playing and this and that. But it kind of toughened him up a little bit. It made him, he would get pissed. And they thought they could just walk all over him and kick his ass. And, you know, he's in third grade. But he was a really good player and he would fight back and he called a penalty. Apparently he called a penalty on one of the other high school bros for marking his ball wrong or something.
You imagine an 8 year old. Think about you being an 18 year old Isaac Rob and an 8 year old. Calls a penalty stroke on you.
So I guess he had, it kind of created, his dad said, it kind of created this huge chip on his shoulder. He was already a really good golfer, but this really pissed him off. And then he ended up, of course, being just great. He just was a junior champion. And yet he did terrible in school, hated school, didn't have any friends, was kind of a hermit, you know, like a recluse, as they say. And to this day, the only place that he's ever felt comfortable is on the golf course. Now, you tell me if that's healthy.
No. And this was kind of my thing when I heard that story.
But that's why he's such a great golfer.
I guess, but you're telling me he wouldn't have been a great golfer anyways? Like,
well, I'm saying all he wants to do is golf.
Yeah, when I hear stories like that, to me, that's not about the kid. That's about the douchey dad. Immediately, and maybe the dad's a great guy, so I don't know the dad. But that's the first thing I think of is that is 100% about the dad's ego, and the dad wants to say that his son plays. Like, who even thinks? By the way, if my son was really good at golf and he's 8 years old and, you know, he's shooting a 45 out there, what possesses a dad to be like, hey, I've got an idea. Let's go see if I can put him on the high school golf team. It's just, that stuff is bizarre, and it really is a double-edged sword because, yeah, maybe that did help him get to the PGA Tour, but maybe it also messed him up as a human being.
Yeah,
doesn't
it sounds
sound like he's very balanced.
No, it sounds like he never has been, though, and I don't know if it's because of just that. He said he's a little off-kilter, never liked school, and all he wanted to do was golf, and so that's all he did, and then he became really good.
I just know that when you're 8 years old, you shouldn't be hanging around and competing against high school kids.
So J.B. Holmes is 37 years old. He has won 5 times on the PGA Tour. His best finish in a major was at this tournament a few years ago. He was 3rd. So he's never won a major, but you know, Holmes is kind of right on that line, and so is Shane Lowry, who's in 2nd.
Yeah.
Shane Lowry's only won once on tour, but he's finished top 10 in some majors, finished 2nd at the US Open a couple years ago too. They're both guys that kind of feel like those guys that were like, you can count on them fading, you know, like you always get after day 1. But they're kind of not. I think they're both capable of winning. This is kind of a wide open
who's
tournament.
Who's the Swedish guy that's up there? He's up there at 3 under 2.
Well, Sergio's up there.
Yeah, Serge is up there. And by the way, we talked about that yesterday. A lot of people thought that was a great sleeper pick. He was at like 85 or 90 to 1 odds. Because he hasn't been playing that well in majors, but he's got 3 top 10 finishes in the British in his career.
Feeling good about it today.
He always plays there. So if you've got Sergio at, you know, 85 or 90 to 1.
You're liking it now.
You're liking it.
And then Ryan Fox is some dude you've never heard of. He's a Brit. He shot 39 on the front and then 29 on the back.
Yeah.
That's the best back 9 in the history of the Open.
He's at 3 under as well.
He birdied 6 of the last 7 holes. It was unbelievable.
Well, and then, by the way, there's Brooks Koepka sitting there at 3 under.
Boy, I tell you what. I don't know how much you watched. He's a machine.
So Koepka has...
And I do not want to see him win.
So he's won a major. He's finished 2nd in the 2 others. And
well, he's won more than 1 major.
No, this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's won, and then he's finished runner-up twice, and then here you are in this one. He's
a machine.
He's ridiculous. And I kind of like this. And this kind of goes along with we were talking earlier about the Tiger Woods thing, that he just can't play on a day-to-day basis anymore. Tiger basically said that he's going to have to pick his spots and hope that his body can recover, you know, and gear up for a couple, you know, tournaments every year. But Koepka is basically just, I love the fact that he's come out and said that he doesn't care about any of the tournaments other than the major championships. I saw a quote leading up to the British Open. Where he said, if I have a golf club in my hand, you know that there's a major around the corner. And that after he won his last one, he said he didn't pick up a club for 10 days and then entered the 3M, whatever it was, you know, like he just, I love that sort of attitude. That guy is about winning championships and nothing else, and having smoking hot girlfriends.
So yeah, she's hot.
She's great.
He looked really good. He's in control. He's just what, two shots back, but
yeah,
he's gonna be right there. He's awesome, but he's just such a machine that it's kind of boring, and I don't want to see him win. You know, here's a guy. I'm gonna tell you another quick golf story. Kiridich Afi Barnrat. You ever heard of him?
No.
You've probably seen him. Yeah, his name's Afi Barnrat. And you've seen him because he's pretty good. So he's been in the hunt at some tournaments. He's the fat guy from Thailand.
I was going to say, he's the little Asian guy, right?
Yeah, and he's fat, like really fat.
Yeah, I've seen this guy.
So that guy, I was reading up on him today. He's 3 under. And he... So he grew up in Thailand, and he was rich and spoiled. And he said that all of his brothers, I think he maybe had sisters too, but he said all the kids in the family were so spoiled that and so entitled that he didn't want to be like that. So here's what he did. He was always a really good golfer and was just starting out as a professional golfer. Mm-hmm. And he bought a $150,000 Lamborghini, and he had $15,000 in his bank account.
Okay.
So his idea was, I'm going to buy this car because everybody's rich and spoiled in my family, and I'm going to buy something that I can't afford, and that is going to force me to play well enough to win the money to be able to afford it.
That's brilliant.
And he did.
I saw years ago, I was reading an article in Time Magazine, and I forget which rapper it was, but there was some rapper they were doing, one of the writers followed him around, and he had this theory too. He had like one hit single, right? And he had made a bunch of money off of it, and he spent all the money. Like he made like $1 million off of this song, and he blew it all just on dumb crap too. And he told the writer this, and the writer was like, well, why? And he said that he got some advice, and I think it might have been from Lil Wayne, who told him, you made a bunch of money, spend it all. Because if you spend it all, then you'll need to write another hit song. It will force you. It was that same sort of mentality. So apparently in the rap game and the golf game, the key is to just buy a bunch of crap that you can't afford, and it ups your game.
I guess so. It worked. And he said that he was going to return the car if he didn't win the money, but he won the money and he has the car. And apparently Afi Barnrat, well, first of all, he vapes while he plays. He's vape bro out there.
He's that guy.
But he, and I wonder how many guys do that. I'm sure there are more.
Yeah, I don't think they show him. They try not to show him on show camera. It.
But he vapes out there. He I guess he's apparently super flashy. He's always driving $100,000 cars and big watches and his shoe game is on point. And I guess he's just like,
that's fantastic.
Mr. Spoiled Brat. There is your, I think we covered it all. Did we cover it all?
I think we got all. The one other
day one British Open.
I don't think we mentioned him, but a guy that I root for is, I like Finau, and he's sitting there. He's sitting there at 3 under 2.
Yeah.
By all accounts, just seems like a good dude, and I'd like to see him get one. He's got a ton of game.
On that note, if it came down to, let's say, Sergio, Tommy Fleetwood, Brooks Koepka, Lee Westwood, Tony Finau, maybe even Jon Rahm. Who are you rooting for there?
Finau.
You're rooting for Finau over Lee Westwood. Finau's got time to win one.
Yeah, but I'd really
love to see Westwood win.
Would you?
Yeah. He's been, that dude, by all accounts, is a great guy.
You've heard it for 10 years that he's the best player to never win one.
And he's a great dude, and he's old now, and nobody expects him to. I think it would be cool to see him get one.
Yeah, I mean,
pull for him.
I suppose, but.
And then, of course, Kuchar. I got money on Kuchar. He shot a 1 under.
Going for my American bro.
You're going for Finau?
Give me Tony.
All right.
I like me the cut of his jib.
That'd be your day one British Open update.
You know, some guys you just look at and you like. Finau's one that I look at and I just like. And Jon Rahm's one that I look at and I want to punch in the face.
Finau's a nice guy, too. He was a hustler growing up.
Yeah.
He and his brother were on Big Break.
Yeah.
Finau.
And he was a web.com guy and seems like a good kid.
One other thing. Did you know that tournament sold out?
The British Open?
Yeah.
Well, I would assume, right?
Like, see, that's what I
don't
thought.
Don't they all sell?
No, they don't. As a matter of fact, I was reading today, they said that, so that tournament sold out because everybody up in Northern Ireland can't wait for the British Open to come back, and they bought up all the tickets. Literally every ticket is accounted for. That is not common. Did you know that you can basically just walk up to a golf major and get a ticket?
No.
Most of the time.
I did not.
I didn't either. I didn't either. I thought it was really hard to get tickets.
I assume because...
No, like, I don't think that's true at the Masters.
Well, no. I mean, the Masters, is like they say, is like one of the toughest tickets, right? I mean, people like protect those badges.
I don't think that's... It is not true at the Masters.
Yes.
That's a different animal.
It's a lottery system. It's very difficult. So maybe I've never thought about it. I just assumed that major championships were hard to get into.
All right. Coming up next, the most unlikely home run in Major League Baseball history. 531, here's Mike.
This is a British Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
A couple people chiming in that Darren Clark, he was smoking darts out there yesterday.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's... Clark's had a tough go of it. I know he was an alcoholic and, you know, used to drink on the course, had a really rough go of it. But then he kind of sobered up. I know his wife died too, and then he sobered up, and then he won the British not too long ago. But he's still out there firing away on his Galois or whatever the hell he smokes.
Yeah, he looks like a guy that'd be puffing away. He kind of looks like a weathered John Mellencamp sort of thing.
He does.
You know though? Sports needs more smoking. I know it's a controversial statement, but I've said it. Smoking makes athletics better. You take any athletic feat and you add a dart to it, and it instantly becomes better. The best like photo of all time is Len Dawson in the at the halftime of Super Bowl I. Think about how football's changed. He's sitting in his locker at halftime, Packers Chiefs, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's smoking a dart and drinking a Fresca.
Is he really drinking a Fresca?
Yeah, he's sitting there. If you look at it, he's got an open like glass bottle of Fresca at his feet, and he's smoking a dart. That's how you get ready for a Super Bowl.
It's so true, man. Like these guys, I remember I first went to a golf major. They had one at Southern Hills in Tulsa. It was like PGA Championship way back in the day. I was younger, but we went out there. It was my first ever live golf event. And I was amazed by how many of the guys smoked.
Yeah.
I guess stuff you don't see on TV. Well, now, I mean, we were mentioning
it's all health conscious.
Well, we were mentioning Affie Barnred. He's a vapor. I bet you there's a few more vapors out there that we don't see. But yeah, now they're all ripped up and like drinking some $1,000 shake made by some personal shake czar, you know, that they pay $8 million a year to. You know what I mean? It's like they're all...
Where's the days of cigars and scotch? That's why you need like Mr. Jimenez out there who...
He's out there.
Yeah, he shot like an 84.
Yeah, well, he's old.
He was terrible, but
he parties. He drinks a bunch of wine, and you know he smokes. And you know who else smokes out there is Angel Cabrera.
Yeah,
Angel Cabrera still smokes. He won the Masters not that long ago.
By the look of his body, he does everything right. Like there's nothing that says fitness about him. Nothing at all.
Well, anyway, quick story for you. What about stories today? Why not?
Improbable home runs?
Yeah. I read this today and thought it was good enough to make the cut. You know Gaylord Perry?
Yeah. Well, I don't know him personally, but...
You don't text him?
I know
You don't
of.
Call him on the phone?
I do not. Why did we go into an accent there?
That's from Ace Ventura, the Dolphins.
Oh, okay.
Remember he's like, do you know the Dolphins? Do they call you on the phone?
Yes, I am now familiar with that.
That's why.
Yeah.
So, Gaylord Perry is a baseball legend.
Hall of Famer?
Yep. 22 years. He was one of the best righty pitchers ever. 300-game winner. 3.1 lifetime ERA. Struck out over 3,500 guys. 2 Cy Young Awards. He's awesome. But he could never hit. He was terrible. His OPS was minus 10, which is, I mean, do you know what that means? Like
yes.
Minus 10.
Yes. It's...
He was 110% below league average. He could not hit. His whole batting average over his whole career was 131.
Yeah. OPS is what? On base plus slugging percentage.
Yeah. Minus 10.
It's not good. I wonder what the worst OPS right now in baseball is.
Yeah. Let's find that first
I'll look that up. See if we can
comparison.
Yeah.
Now, of course, his teammates love to give him crap about how bad he was as a hitter, and none more so than a guy by the name of Alvin Dark, who was the manager when Perry was with the Giants in the 60s, early 60s. And one day during the season of 1964, Alvin Dark and a reporter for the San Francisco Examiner, Harry Jupiter, were watching Perry hit home runs during batting practice. And Jupiter told Dark, he said, hey, you know, Perry looks pretty good with the bat. And then he said, well, I think this guy maybe will hit a home run one of these days. Like Gaylord Perry's like smacking him out in BP. And, you know, what the hell? Maybe he'll park one. Well, Dark, what he said back to him set in motion one of the weirdest coincidences in baseball history. So he said, mark my words, a man will land on the moon before Gaylord Perry hits a home run.
By the way, I looked it up, and for this season, Joe Panik right now has the worst OPS, 627.
Okay.
That's the worst. And you said his was negative 10?
Yeah, minus 10.
Yeah.
That's OPS plus.
Oh.
Do they have that on there?
No.
So we can get the same figure?
All right, so OPS plus.
OPS plus.
Let me,
I don't know
let
what
me
the,
try to look
these
that
analytics,
up.
They scare me. Do you know what that is, Mike? Are you an analytics guy?
I mean, I'm assuming it has something to do with a more even way to look at OPS.
An adjusted OPS or something?
Yeah, I don't know what it means.
I just know the regular OPS.
So fast forward 5 years. So did you catch what he said? He said, mark my words, a man will land on the moon before Gaylord Perry hits a home run.
Yes.
So fast forward 5 years to 1969, July 20th. Perry is 30 years old, clearly one of the best arms in the game, and he's starting against the Dodgers. But also that afternoon, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were about to become the first men to set foot on the moon. So you can probably see where this is going by now.
Sure.
But at 1:17 p.m. Pacific time, Apollo 11 landed about 238,000 miles away from Candlestick Park. Perry stepped up to the plate in the top of the third inning, and wouldn't you know it, he hit the first home run of his major league career. And as he told it back in 2009, he said, well, about the top of the third, over the loudspeaker, they were telling everybody to stand and give a moment of silence and thanks to the astronauts who landed on the moon. And I would say that, oh, probably about 30 minutes later, Claude Osteen grooved me a fastball and I hit one out of the park.
That is a very, very cool story.
So by 1969, Dark was no longer with the Giants, but he said they caught up with him about it. And he said, well, technically speaking, we did put a man on the moon before he hit his home run.
That's funny how little things like that. You know, just the.
But how about 30 minutes? Like literally the same.
Well, that's like where this is what we were talking about the other day when something like this happens and people think it's some sort of divine intervention or, you know, it's coincidence. Sometimes just funky things happen. By the way, I looked up. So OPS plus is a player's on base plus slugging percentage, and it normalizes the number across the entire league. It accounts for external factors like ballparks. It then adjusts the score so that 100 is league average.
Okay.
And 150 is 50% better than the league average.
Yeah, so that explains that he was minus 10, minus 110% below league average.
Yes.
So what is?
I'm trying to look up who's leading this. I can find Cody Bellinger right now is the leader in that, but it doesn't give me a full list. It just gives me Bellinger's leading in that, and then Trout in the American League. But I'm trying to find a list that I can see. You know, who's worst?
So we have 1 hour and 15 minutes left. Do we think Suk will find this list before the end of the show? Anyone?
Boy, I don't know. I'm trying hard here, and I'm like, I found a Sabermetrics stat place.
Hell no.
Still not giving me a full list. It just gives me the top 10. The best I can tell you right now is who's the top 10.
No.
in OPS plus in 2019.
All right. Would you want LaMarcus Aldridge back with the Blazers next on The Fan?
This is a British Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
Okay, we're all feverishly hunting for OPS plus stats and we can't find them.
No.
They're nowhere. Unless you want to go through each individual player.
And I'm not doing that. Let's just accept the fact that negative 10 is really bad.
Look, I'm going to guarantee
you. If 100 is league average... and he was negative 10.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
There's only one player that could ever be worse than that, and it's Billy Hamilton. I guarantee it. I don't even know it. I'm not going to look it up. I'm sure it's worse. So Jabari Young, do you remember him?
I do remember him.
Jabari covered the Blazers for literally a hot second here in town. Worked with him a little bit at Comcast Sportsnet Northwest over there. And then he moved on to San Antonio to cover the Spurs. And he was doing something recently where he said that he believes one way or another LaMarcus Aldridge is going to return to Portland.
Yeah, he thinks it's inevitable.
Inevitable. Now, I don't know. I meant to look up.
See his contract?
Well, yeah, I meant to look it up, but I was too fired up about OPS Plus.
I didn't know what it was. Here we go. We've got it. He's got two more years, and then he's an unrestricted free agent.
How much is that dude making?
Not too bad, actually. He's making 26, and then, yeah.
Well, I guess that is not too bad.
That's not that bad. $26
million? So he'll make $26 million this upcoming season, then $24 million after that.
Yeah.
And he's a free agent.
And so he'll be 36.
He'll be 36 when his contract's up?
When his contract's up.
Yeah.
So if he were to come back, if he just were to play out his contract and then...
Because the Blazers can't afford him now.
No. So if he plays out his contract and comes back, he'd be 36 years old. Otherwise, you'd have to work out a deal for him.
Although I guess they could trade for him at the deadline.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could swap salary.
Well, and that's
like if
the
Whiteside's
thing.
Not working out or whatever.
And that's what I was saying is that I still think that the best thing that Portland did in the offseason, believe it or not, is I think that they made the necessary moves to tweak the roster because they were going to naturally lose guys because they didn't have any money. But you still have put yourself in a position, I think, with a couple young pieces, whether it be little Anthony Simons or Collins, picks and expiring deals. I still think you have the ability to go out and get a marquee player. And I'm talking about whether Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, you can bring in someone like that at the trade deadline. A lot of it's just going to depend on what a team wants in return, or if a team's just looking to dump salary. Like San Antonio, if they're going through a rebuild, maybe a pick and a young asset would be enough to get LaMarcus.
Well, now Griffin to me is a better get than LaMarcus. I mean, Griffin's younger.
Well, Griffin's coming off. I think he was second team All-NBA last year.
I mean, that's a different category.
Yes.
So,
but I'm just saying a marquee player like LaMarcus, though, is 2 years removed.
He's
from
marquee.
I mean, he's an NBA All-Star.
Oh, well, he's still dropping 21 and 10, basically. Yeah. But we know what he is. There's a little bit of baggage there, although I don't think too much. I don't think too many people hold much against him. He's just, he was good here. The ball kind of stops with him, which I think bothered a lot of people.
Yeah.
But if Damian Lillard wants him back and he wants to come back, I don't really know why you wouldn't want to add him at that four spot.
It would just be a cost thing, what it would take to bring him back. But I think sometimes fans get clouded and there's a sense of rejection. And it's because I hear a lot of people being like, well, I wouldn't give up any young assets for him. Or, maybe if it was someone said that, $8 million, nothing more, which is just, it's asinine. LaMarcus Aldridge would become instantly your second best player. Like there's this weird idea that LaMarcus is a has-been or that he's just like a throwaway player. And the same thing with Blake Griffin. And it's foolish. Blake Griffin was a third team All-NBA player last year. LaMarcus, I think the year before that was a second or third team All-NBA player. I mean, they're instantly better than anyone else on your roster, not named Damian Lillard. It's just a matter of what would it take to bring him into the fold.
You'd rather have Kevin Love over LA probably?
I don't know. No, I think I'd rather have LaMarcus.
Would you?
Yeah. I mean, the age thing, how old's Kevin Love? Because LaMarcus is getting up there in age, but I don't think Kevin Love is necessarily a youngster either.
Blake Griffin's
He's 30.
30.
So he got 3 years older. I think, honestly, I'd rather have LaMarcus.
Love and Griffin are 30. LaMarcus is 33.
Blake Griffin, to me, is a different category. I think he's significantly better, but I would take LaMarcus over Kevin Love. I think he's a more complete player. I think he's played with Lillard. I'll take him.
All right. Well, I don't know how many people are against that, but if Aldridge wanted to come back here.
And someone said, too,
I think that would be great.
LaMarcus, he's a shooter. He'll be able to shoot his whole career. And, playing alongside those two guards, he's going to get open looks.
Hasn't declined yet.
No.
Well, I mean, he's a little bit. I mean, but at the same time, his first couple years in San Antonio, he wasn't as good as he is now. Like it took him a while to adjust in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, it was a little weird there.
Well, remember,
of course, that's him.
Remember, he asked to be dealt.
I know.
And Popovich said, great, we'll deal you as long as we get, and then he threw out some like ridiculous name.
But he's been there 4 years, and the last 2 years have been much better than the first two.
Yep. So the last 2 years, he has gone 23 and 21 And what do we got? Rebounds. Yeah, 9. So basically, he's a 20-9 guy. Why wouldn't you want that back?
Bum.
Yeah. Ooh, you don't want him. I wouldn't. You know, Zach Collins. No, no, no. Won't do it.
Somebody found it for us. We found the worst OPS plus. It was hidden. So if you clicked on team batting and scrolled down, all the players were below the teams. So the worst OPS plus so far is Rougned Odor, 63.
Wow.
He's the worst?
He sucks.
He's awful.
I don't even think he's hitting 200.
I didn't think he was that bad.
Well, he was really good 2 years ago when he punched Jose Bautista in the face.
Yeah, I know.
Since then, he's been really bad.
So that's the worst, huh?
63.
Yep.
And Gaylord Perry was minus 10.
Then Joe Panic is 69.
Where's Billy Hamilton?
So he's 69. So Panic has the worst regular OPS in Major League Baseball right now.
Billy Hamilton does not have enough at-bats to qualify.
Perfect, because he'd be at minus 100 million thousand.
Set some bitterness coming your way.
He's a bum.
Over Billy Hamilton.
All right, coming up next, I have to swallow my pride and apologize to Big Sook.
I'm excited about this.
Something. Right. It's 5:56 on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.